Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Vov. You will notice at the beginning of a line a triangle. This is one of the markings that we were using during our previous shiur, indicating that we're in the middle of a discussion. We had seen a machloikis between Rav and Levi concerning the ma'ayonos. How many ma'ayonos are there in a woman, specifically a woman who is giving birth? The first week or 2 weeks, depending on the gender of the child, she is tamea. Following the tumas leido period, she has either 33 or 66 days of tahara. There's a transition then, that from the yemei tumah, where any blood she sees during that first week or 2 weeks, she is tamea. Following that period, any blood she sees, she will be tahora. Similarly, at the end of that tahora period, she then lapses back into a tumah period, which is her regular nida monthly menstrual cycle. Rav claims that it is one source of blood, that simply because of time, or based on the time, it's the Torah declares it Tomei when it needs to be declared Tomei, and Tohor when it needs to be declared Tohor. According to Levi, we had learned that there are two Mayonos, two sources, and that when one closes up, the other opens. The point of difference between the two shitas we saw was the case of shoifas, that where there is a continual flow from one time period into the next. According to Rav, where there's a continual flow, it will maintain whatever it will change based on the time in which it's flowing. So that if from the first 2 weeks it flows into the 15th day onwards, up till day 80 in the case of a female birth, it will be tahor on day 15, even though there is a continuous flow. According to Levi, we don't see the original source closing up, indicating that the second source opens. So the need for a closing, for a stoppage, a momentary stoppage of blood flow, in the case of that we just described, will be the point of difference. So now turning to the Gemara, Toshma. We have a Tanaic source, and this features an issue that we had learned quite a bit earlier in the Masifta, back on Daf Yud. This is a reference to a stoppage of, or let's say, non-sighting of blood for a period of 3 months, which is known as Gimel Oinois. If a woman experiences the stoppage of blood over a period of 3 oinois, we say she is mesulekis domim, and then she has a status of dayoshaita, which means there will be no retroactive tumah. Even though we have learned earlier in the Masichta that if it went upon this a blood sighting, there are those that are metama her retroactively. The Rabbonin say up till 24 hours, and we saw other shittas that say back till the last time she checked herself. In that context, we continue with this source. Toshma, we should point out that this attempt to resolve the machlokas Rav and Levi will be a long attempt, and we've abbreviated in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text Toshma with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of this attempt. You'll also notice the continued use of the double underline a few lines from here. This is to emphasize the expression Bishlamo, in this case Lerav, where this in effect is a source that's brought in as a question or a challenge to Levi. So the source says, Yemei Ibura Oilim Lo Limei Menikusa. That means if a woman had been nursing and she then became pregnant, and during the nursing period she had not seen blood, and then this non-sighting of blood continued into her new pregnancy. Likewise, Vimei Minikusa Oilun Lo Lime Ibura. This is a woman that had been pregnant. She gave birth and continued now to nurse the new child. The nursing period will complete the non-sighting of blood during the pregnancy period to create a situation of dayoshaita, where there will be no retroactive imposition of tumah, ketzad. And here's a practical example. Hifsiko shtayim bimei ibura. She had no blood sighting for two oinois during her pregnancy. V'achas bimei minikusa, and one oino, one time period, which is one another 30 days during the time she was nursing. Shtayim bimei minikusa, or 2 months of no sighting during a nursing period. V'achas bimei ibura, and one during her pregnancy period. Or achas umechtsa bimei ibura, 1.5 months of no blood during her pregnancy. V'achas umechtsa bimei minikusa, and 1.5 months during her nursing. Oilin lo legimel onos. These will complete the necessary three onos for which we can now say there will be no retroactive tumah. Bishlamo l'Rav di Omar Mayon Echod Hu, according to Rav, who says there's only one blood source. Mishum hochi boy hefsik shalosh onos. Therefore, we require a stopping of three time periods, of 3 months, in order to establish that the blood is not flowing anymore from that source. So that you need to have some substantive demonstration or proof that there is no blood, and hence we don't have to suspect anything retroactive. According to Levi, that there are two separate sources of blood. Lomali hefsik sholosh oinois. Why is there a necessity of having a stoppage of or non-sighting for 3 full time periods? Bimashehu sagi. A momentary stoppage would be enough. Let us take a look at the Rashi, who explains back on Rashi Bishlama l'Rav. The Omar, according to Rav, that said Mayon Echod Hu Mishum Hochi Muberes Shischilu Lahafsik V'Yolda. We understand why a woman who had been pregnant and during the pregnancy she stopped seeing blood, and then she gave birth. Tzrichu LaHashlim Gimel Oinois. She has to stop, and she has to have no sighting for a complete 3 oinois, 3 time per 3 months. Shalotira achalei de klum, that she shouldn't see after the birth any blood. And now Rashi gets off on a side point. Vidam leido lo mafsig l'shalosh. The fact that she has blood during the actual childbirth doesn't stop, doesn't create a break in the 3 time periods. Yatzina perakamo, as the Gemara explained in the first parak, dam nido l'chud vidam leido l'chud. We are interested in the stoppage of dam nido, and we're not interested in the issue of dam leido. Avol achar leido ichazoi lo hishlimo gimel onos u mitamais leish she'ein domem sulokin. If after the yemei leido pass, she sees blood, then she won't complete the 3 months that we were counting toward, and we won't be able to say that domeha mesulokin. Elola Levi, Rashi continues, afilu I chazio li'achar shvuayim ho lav mimayon tome osi. According to Levi, we're describing a woman who started this blood stoppage during her pregnancy. She then gave birth. Let us say after the 2 weeks of Tumas Leda, she then sees blood. Well, Rashi points out, it's not Mimayon Tomei Osi. it's not coming from a source of tumah, because you're now into the yamei tohar v'yalu lo lahashlomas shalosh onos. That should count toward the completion of 3 months. Davi ki'ilu dam michoit ma. So it's no different than blood coming from her nose. So, according to Levi, b'mashuhu sagya, Rashi says shetifsok achar yamei leido mashuhu. There should be just a momentary non-blood flow after her yamei leido, the neima, which will enable us to say nistam hatome. The tome source of blood has closed up. And we would be able then to say that whatever continued blood flow after that is coming from Dam Tohar. So why the necessity of having 3 months of no blood sightings? The Gemara answers, basically, you're right. Hochi Komar. We have to reread the source as follows. Tzricha shetifsok mashehu. She has to have a momentary blood stoppage after the Yemei Leida, Kedei Shialu Lo L'Shalosh Onos, so that the subsequent time will be able to complete the calculation of 3 Onos. And Rashi points out, once you have that little stoppage, even if she's seeing blood during that time, it's not going to bother us at all. Toshma. Here you notice an inverted triangle. That indicates to us a change in direction, and this source will be brought in and end up being beneficial to Levi, but a problem for Rav. The source begins, Vishavin. That's Shammai and Hillel. Beisham Beis Hillel agree. Beroya Achadam Tohar Shedaya Shaita. We know that Shammai and Hillel had argued about the issue of retroactive tumah. They will agree in the case of a sighting after Dam Tohar. Dam Tohar is that period that we've made reference to numerous times after the Yemei Leida. Then there is a 33 or 66 day Tahara period, depending on the gender of the child. That's called the Dam Tohar. And this source says they agree that even that if she sees a renewed blood flow after the Yemei Tohar, then Daya Shaita, there's no retroactive Tumah. So Rashi adds here that the assumption is even if the sighting is a number of days after the completion of the Yemei Tohar. If the Yemei Tohar ends on day 80, let us say, she then has her first blood sighting on day 84. This source says they agree. Daya Shaita, Bishamola Levi, Damar Shnei Mayonas Hain. According to Levi, that says there are two separate blood sources, Mishamachi, Daya Shaita. Therefore, we understand that it's Daya Shaita, meaning there's no retroactive tumah. Her blood has been misulak, has not shown up till now, and this source has not opened for any flow till now. Therefore, this is her first sighting, and regarding first sightings, we say daya shaita. Elo l'Rav diomar mayon echod hu. According to Rav, it says all blood comes from the same source. Amai daya shaita. Why is there this no retroactive tuma? Titame me'es leis. Let there be retroactive tuma back 24 hours, which is what we have learned in the past. Let us glance at Rashi, who adds a few words of explanation. Bishlomo Lelevi, Diomar Shnei Mayonas Heim, Shumhochi Daya Shaito, Sharei Domeha Misulokin. Her blood is considered stopped. She Kamo Yomim Sheovru, Velo Roaso Dami Mayonze. Now, a number of days went by. We said that her Yemei Tohar ended at day 80. She has a sighting now on day 84. Vahav Yolo, Ria Rishona, it's her first sighting, Vadaya Shaito. Umenika, a nursing woman, me'arbanoshim he didayin shaitan birishona. She is one of four examples of women that we say that upon the first blood sighting, there is no retroactive tuma. Elol Rav, Rashi continues, Elol Rav, diomar, mayon echod hu, lav rio rishonahi. This is not a first sighting. Vehare huchsika bedomim, and till now she has been seeing blood during the Yemei Tohar. So the Gemara is asking right now on Shitas Rav, why is there a conclusion in this source about Daya Shaita, or that is the conclusion, no retroactive tuma? There should be some type of the 24-hour retroactive tuma, because as far as Rav is concerned, this blood source has been flowing for the last, who knows how long, we had up till 80 days there was blood flow, even though we were declaring it Tohar. But as we know, Shitas Rav says that it's a matter of timing, that if it's after the Yemei Tohar, that same blood source will then be labeled Tameh. So she sees now after the Yemei Tohar, it's not coming from a situation of Domeha Mesulokin, of a stopped blood source, because it's an original same blood source. And being that it's not a stopped blood source, there should be retroactive Tuma. The Gemara says, Deleka Shehus. Rashi explains that it's a very specific case that's being addressed over here. You want to know why we don't say there's a 24-hour retroactive tuma? It's because she is seeing the blood not on day 84 like our example before, but very specifically on day 81. Day 81, if you go back 24 hours from her sighting on day 81, you'll find yourself on day 80. A blood sighting on day 80 is in the Yemei Tohar. So we can't say she's retroactively Tomeya for 24 hours when the beginning of that time, of that 24-hour period, was in the Yemei Tohar. The Gemara says, okay, granted that you're on day 81, but the Tetame Mipkido Lepkido. The expression Mipkido we've learned in the past has to do with the necessity of a woman for checking herself every evening and morning, to ensure that there is no blood, so that any taharos she was handling in the last 12 hours remain tohar. In our case, where she saw blood sometime during the day 81, but in our case now, she saw blood on the morning of day 81. Why not say that she's tamea retroactively till the evening, ushering in day 81? Another form, a limited form of retroactive tuma. The Gemara answers, Kevon de meis leis leko, since we don't have the possibility of imposing a 24-hour retroactive tuma, me pkido pkido nami lo gozu bo rabbonan. The rabbonan didn't impose a gzera of me pkido le pkido either, meaning from one checking to the previous checking period. So as far as we are concerned, Rav answers up from this answers up this source, this Tanaic source, saying that the reason that even Hillel will agree Daya Shaita is because the sighting is on day 81. But if the sighting were several days after the completion of the Yemei Tohar, since it's one blood source, we're not talking about a woman who is misulekis damim, Rav, then the source wouldn't have said daya shaita, but rather there would have been some form of retroactive tuma, of let's say 24-hour retroactive tuma. And why is that? Well, it's because it's coming from the same source of blood that she has been having blood sightings during the Yemei Tohar, and since it's not there's no siluk domim, there is retroactive tuma. Toshma yoledes bezov shesofra velo tovlo, a woman who gave birth and she had been a zova at the time she was giving birth. She counted her seven Nikiyim after the Yoledes period, after the Yemei Tumas Leda. She counted, but she didn't go to Mikveh. The Ruah saw, and then she saw blood. Holchu Beis Shammai l'shitasun Beis Hillel l'shitasun. Beis Shammai will tell you that since time is the only factor that matters with regard to declaring blood tameh or tohor, so the blood in this case is midoraisa tohor, and the blood she sees after she counted the yemei shivanikim is metama lach, but not yovesh, only if it's damp, but not if it's dry, namely unlike dam that's tameh midoraisa. Beis Hillel l'shitasun, Beis Hillel will tell you that since she didn't go to mikveh, so the blood will be metama lach and yovesh as well. Bishlamo l'Rav, diomar mayon echod hu. According to Rav, that says there's only one source of blood. Mishum hochi metama lach v'yovesh. Therefore, shitas Beis Hillel is understandable that he is metama yovesh as well, because she didn't metahir the singular blood source by going to mikveh. Elo levi diomar shnei mayonas hein. But according to Levi, that they're two separate blood sources, the blood source of Tumas Leda and the blood source of Yemei Tohar, are two separate blood sources. Why would Beis Hillel say that it's Metama even Yavesh that is treated like Doraisa Tuma blood when it's coming from a Tohar source? It's a blood flow that's starting now during the Yemei Tohar. And even if she didn't go to mikveh, but it's coming from, as we said, a tohor source, why then does he treat it like dam tomei midoraisa and metame even yovesh? Omar loch Levi, ano di amri kitana de shavin. The basis of my opinion is rooted in the Tanaic source above. I have a Tanaic authority to base myself on. We have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow of above, and you see in that source we had brought it in with the inverted triangle showing a source that supported Levi. That source spoke about a woman who has a blood sighting after the Yemei Tohar, and he won't learn it like Rav learned the source where it's a sighting specifically on day 81, but rather she had a blood sighting on day 84, on day 90, and we said Daya Shaita, because up till that point, that particular blood source is a separate blood source, and it had been closed up, and it's the first time it's opening after a long time of her not seeing any dam. Therefore, Daya Shaita, and based on that is Levi's opinion that it's a separate blood source. The Eboy Esema, another explanation to defend Levi regarding this last triangled source, Bishoifas. The reason that Beis Hillel is Metame, even Biyovesh, is because there was no closing up of the Tomei source. Shofas means a continuous flow. So that you have a woman who was Yoledes, she gave birth, at that point the blood source is Tomei, and it continued flowing on and on. So you're into the Yemei Tohar, but it didn't. But the Tomei source didn't close up. That's called Shofas. And therefore, Levi understands that is Tomei. It's still the original first source. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Sofra Katani?" But in the source, it says that she counted. Counted means she counted clean days, indicating there was no stoppage of that there was a stoppage. And if there was a stoppage, so how can you say Shofas? The Gemara answers, "Hocha Bioletis Nikeva Bezoivas Kinon." This is a very specific case. It's a woman who had been a Zova when she gave birth to a female child. Female child means she's Tamea for 14 days. This woman also has an obligation of counting 7 clean days. And what happened over here? The Shavua Kama Poska, the first week immediately following her her birth, there was no blood. Shavua Basra Lo Pascha, the second week, from day 8 till day 14, that second week, she did have a blood flow, and it didn't stop, and it flowed into the days after day 14. The Kosovar, and this opinion, this source is of the opinion, you may lay dosa she'ein roya bohen oilin la l'sfira zivosa. The Yemei Leda, that she doesn't see any blood, counts, that's concurrent. In other words, she can experience this Shiva Nikiyam during the Yemei Tumas Leda. For our purposes, the reason that Beis Hillel says it's Metama Lach and Yovish, that it's Metama Yovish as well, is because she was Shofas from day 14 into day 15, and day 14 was a tome day. There was no stoppage of the tuma source of blood. However, had there been some momentary stoppage, any subsequent blood flow would not be considered tome, because there are two separate sources, as Levi says. Omale Ravina Ravashi. Omalon Rav Shamon Misichros. Ravina tells Ravashi that Rav Shamon had told them, Iklo Marzutra La Asrin Vidorash. Marzutra came to our town and he lectured. Hilchisuka Vose de Rav Luchumra Vihilchisuka Vose de Levi Luchumra. When it comes to applied law, Rav Shamon lectured, we will follow Rav Luchumra. Now that means Rav means one blood source. L'chumra, where is there a manifestation of a stringency? That will be a case of shofas, when she is a constant blood flow from day 80 till after day 80. So, day 80 represented a tara, time period. Day 81 is a tome, time period. So, by saying Mayon Echod, and she is Shofa'as, it's a continuous flow. Now, a continuous flow into day 81, if you were to hold, like Levi, for example, it's a continuous flow of Tohor blood. So, even on day 81, she would have been considered Tahora. But he says, Rav Shamon says, we're going to follow the stringencies of each one of these opinions. So the stringency of Rav, it would be a case of a continuous blood flow from day 80 into day 81. Only according to Rav will she be Tamea on day 81, because the Torah had declared that one source, Tohor, on day 80. It's the same Torah that declares that source, Tome, on day 81. The Hilchos HaKavasi de Levi L'chumra, where will the adoption of Levi's Shita, Levi's opinion, result in a stringency? In a case where she shofas, where there's a continuous blood flow from day 14 after a female birth into day 15. A continuous flow. Now, according to Rav, under those circumstances, we would have had a leniency, because it's just a matter of what the Torah declares. The Torah declares day 14 as Tomei, and it declares day 15 as Tohar. But according to Levi, it's not just a function of a Torah declaration, it's also a function of the stoppage of one source and the opening up of the other source. So a continuous flow, where we see there's no stoppage, a continuous flow from day 14 into day 15, if you adopt Shitas Levi, you will have a stringency. Namely, a blood flow on day 15, which is ordinarily called Yemei Tohar, but it's still going to be Tomei. Rav Ashi Omar Hilchusto Kavose de Rav Bein Lekulo Bein Lechumra. He says, to the contrary, we follow Rav across the boards. Whether it results in a kula, that would be the constant flow, the continuous flow from day 14 into day 15, where according to Rav, it's one blood source, and it's simply the Torah declares it on day 14 to be Tomei, but now on day 15 it's Tohar. So that is a leniency. The blood flow on day 15 would be Tohar. Ba'im L'chumra, that's the case where she has a continuous blood flow, like we said before, from day 80 to day 81. Dorish Mreimar, Hilchaso Kavose de Rav, Ba'im L'kula, Ba'im L'chumra. Mreimar lectured that we shall follow Rav on all counts, whether it results in a kula, like the constant flow, a continuous flow from 14 to 15, and whether it results in a restringency, a continuous, like is the case of a continuous flow from day 80 to day 81. The Hilchusok of Asi, the Rav, Bein, Lekula, Bein, Lechum, and the Gemara itself rules like Rav across the boards. Whether it happens to be a leniency, that a situation that will result in a leniency or a stringency. We now continue at the top of Daf of Omid Beis, the Mishnah. Hamekashe Nida. This opening phrase of the Mishnah is something that requires explanation, and the Gemara will deal with it. But we're dealing with a case of a woman who, prior to delivering a child, she experiences pain and a blood flow. So the translation of this is that a woman who has pain and a pain with blood and then delivers a child, she is called a nida. That, of course, is something that is very difficult to understand at this point. The Mishnah continues, Koshso Shloshi Yomim, Besoich Yud Aleph Yoim. A woman experienced 3 days of continuous blood flow with pain, and it was during what would have been Yemei Ziva. That's Pesach Yud Aleph Yom. V'shofsa me'es le'es. And then had a stoppage of pain. Shofsa is a quiet period. No pain for me'es le'es. 24 hours on the fourth day. So she had 3 days of blood with pain. And then a 24-hour break on the fourth day, the Alda, and then gave birth. Harezu Yoledes Bezoiv. Divrei Rebbe Lezer. That's an example of Yoledes Bezoiv, where we see retroactively, because of that 24-hour quiet period, that the 3 days of blood that she was experiencing were in fact Ziva related. They were not Vlad related. They weren't coming as a result of the child. Blood that a woman exudes because of her pregnancy, that would not impose tumah on her. But here, since she is experiencing she experienced a quiet period of 24 hours, it shows us that the 3 days are not child related, not pregnancy related. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shofsa, the Shofi period, the quiet period, is Laila V'yoyim Kalele Shabbos V'yoymoi. Lele Shabbos V'yoymoi means the Shabbos day is made up of a night and a day. So it's not a function of 24 hours on a clock, but rather this woman had experienced 3 days of blood flow. The only way she will become a Yoledes Bezov is if after the 3 days of blood flow that she was experiencing, she stops experiencing the pain for a night and a day. A night and the following day. Sheshofso min atzar v'lo min adam. Even though she is continuing to see blood, the quietness or the stoppage is from the pain. So even though she's seeing blood, it's still called Shofi. Kamo hi kishuya. Let's say working backwards from the point of delivery. So we just said that pain leading up, pain with blood leading up to the delivery, if there was no Shofi, if there was no 24-hour period relaxing from the pain, she would not be tamei, even though she had consecutive days of seeing blood. How far backwards in time do we go and call the blood sightings blood related to pregnancy, to the offspring, to the fetus? Rabbi Meir Omer, Afilu Arboim V'Chamishim Yom, even 40-50 days retroactively, if she continued to see blood for 40-50 days, which then culminated in a delivery, she would be Tahora. Let's glance at the Rashi, Afilu Arboim V'Chamishim Yom, Im Lo Shofsa Yom Echad Samach L'Leida, if she didn't have a day of non-pain adjacent or next to the birth, lo asilu de ziva, she won't come to ziva, she won't be called yoledes bezov, lo havia lo yoledes bezov. So Rabbi Meir gives a rather long time period. Rabbi Yuda Omer daya chodosha, 1 month. Let us say that the delivery is at the end of the 9th month. So if she was seeing blood from the beginning of the 9th month, which she was seeing blood with pain, and then at the end of the 9th month gave birth, she would not be considered Tamea. However, let us say she was seeing blood all of the 9th month, but she also was seeing blood the last 3 days of the 8th month of her pregnancy. And those 3 days happened to come out during her Yemei Ziva, during the 11 days that we call Yemei Ziva. So even though you've got a whole month of pain with blood, she will still be, yes, considered a Yoledes Bezov. So Rabbi Yehuda limits it to 1 month. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Oimrim, Ein Kishu Yosir Mishtei Shabosus. This leniency of a woman seeing blood for so many days is limited to 2 weeks. 2 weeks of seeing blood with pain, and then culminating in a child's birth, she will be Torah. However, if it's more than 2 weeks, let's say it's 2 weeks and then 3 days, three more days, let's say 17 days of blood with pain, she would nevertheless be considered a Yoledes Bezoiv. So the beginning of the Mishnah had said Amekashe Nida. The Gemara asks Otu Kol Hamekashe Nidahi. Rashi explains the question. If she had, is it so to say that a woman who has blood with pain, even during her Yemei Ziva, she becomes Anida? But that can't be. You can't have Anida resulting during Ziva days. After all, Nida is a situation where a woman sees blood after not having seen blood for a while. The first time she sees the blood, the reoccurrence of blood, she's Tomea for 7 days. Following the 7 days, any blood she sees for the next 11 days make her into a Zava. So the Zava period is something that's separate from the Nida period. So how can it be suggested that a woman that has blood with pain, she becomes a Nida? Because by saying that, saying even if the blood with pain comes out during the May Ziva, she will become a Nida. Omar Rav. Rav explains what the Mishnah means when it says the Makashe, she's a Nida. It means Nida Liyoma. It's, you could say, a borrowed expression. It means she becomes forbidden to her husband for that day. Rashi fills in quite a few words to this very short answer. So let us glance at the Rashi. Omar Rav, Nida Liyoma Vochi Komar, Hamakashe Veroya Dam Bimei Ziva. A woman is leading up to a birth of a child, and she's having this pain with blood during Yemei Ziva. So even though she will not have to keep the next day as a clean day, which would have been the din had she not been pregnant, there is a din called Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom, that when a woman sees blood during the Yemei Ziva, she is not only Tamea and also to her husband that day, but the following day as well, she has to make sure she doesn't have any blood sighting. She's called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. So Rav says that if the blood sighting during her pregnancy comes out during the Yemei Ziva, and she's coming close to delivering the child, she does not have to keep the next day as a Yom Yemei Toyar, as a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. Ushmul Omar Cheshinon Shemo Tishve. Shmuel says that I won't allow her to her husband even the next day, because what would happen if that next day the pain stops? If the pain stops on that next day, then retroactively we will see that the blood that she had was Ziva blood and not Vlad related. And as such, she would have been usher that second day. So Shmuel says, I'm not going to allow relations with her husband, even though she is a Mekasha, she's a woman seeing blood with pain, close to her delivery date. Rav Yitzchok Omar, HaMekasha Eino Klum. Rav Yitzchok says, blood seen together with pain, leading up to close to a birth, is nothing to reckon with. The Gemara asks, how do you mean nothing? How can you say that? V'okotani makasha nida, but the opening of the Mishnah indicated that the makasha is a nida, that a woman experiencing blood with pain is problematic, to say the least. Omar Rava resolves the Mishnah with Rav Yitzchok. Bimei nida nida, true. If she sees the blood with pain and it's coming out during Yemei Nida, she becomes a Nida. However, Bimei Ziva, if she sees blood with pain and it turns out it comes out during her Yemei Ziva, Tahora, she is Tahora. So that the Mishnah is speaking about a specific case, and Rabbi Yisrael was talking about the other case. The Hotanya, a source brought to support this. You see the next several lines in a frame, and we will see the support for what we just learned. Hamakasha bimei nida, nida. Bimei ziva, tahora. That's exactly what Rava answered. Ketzad, practical example. Kosh se yoim echad b'shof se shnayim, a woman who had blood with pain on day one, and then shofso shnayim, then there were 2 days of no blood flow, of no pain. There might have been blood flow, but no pain. Oy shekosha shnayim v'shofso yimechod. Notice as we go along with these three first examples that we're calling Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, the dashed underline word relative position. So the second example is she had blood with pain for 2 days, and then the third day was without pain. She had blood without pain, then there was a day of pain, and then a day of no pain. In these examples, we described the woman that there were 3 days of blood flow, and the 24 hours that ended with the delivery of the child was without pain. You notice that the dashed underline expression is positioned at the end of each one of the examples. In each example, there we're describing one that led up to childbirth. So she's called Yoledes Bezov. Why? Because the shofi, the stoppage of pain was right next to the Leda. Avol, now three cases, very similar but contrasted. Shofsu Yomechon, because Shoshnaim. She had a day of blood flow without pain, followed by 2 days of blood flow with pain. Oy, Shoshofsu Shoshnaim, because Yomechon. 2 days of blood flow without pain, and the third day with pain. oy shekoshsa b'shalsa v'chaz v'koshsa. Pain, no pain, and then pain. 3 days of blood flow, ending with childbirth. Ein zu yoledes bezov. This is not called a yoledes bezov. Klolo shadover, the principle established here, says koshi somach l'leida ein zu yoledes bezov. If there is pain right up to next to the birth, so she's not called a yoledes bezov. Needless to say, she doesn't have to observe 7 clean days following her yemei tumas leida. Shoifi samach l'leida, however, a period of quiet, of non-pain, leading up to the birth. Harezu yoledes bezov. Then she is a yoledes bezov, because the 24 hours of non-pain immediately prior to the birth shows retroactively that the other blood was not pregnancy-related. Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua, Hananya, the son of Rabbi Yeshua's brother, in other words, Rabbi Yeshua's nephew, Oimer kol shechal kishuya b'shlishi shela, afilu kol hayom kulo b'shoifi einzu yoledes bezoif. A woman that had, let's say, a couple of days, 2 days of blood sighting, and on the third day she had a moment of blood with pain. So there was a moment of pain on day 3. Even though for the next 24 hours there is shofi, she's not considered a yoledes bezov. The reason for Hanani is you don't have 3 consecutive days in which we can say that on the last of the 3 days was Shofi. Even though there's a 24-hour period of Shofi, nevertheless, according to Hanania, since on day 3, the third day of blood sighting, there was a moment of pain, she's not considered a yoledes bezoiv. In this source, we saw an expression klolo shodavar. We have dashed underlined that, and we also have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you align it with the star above, you see the line where this came. Klolo shodavar l'suyei mai. This statement of a rule. What is it coming to include? Lasuye de Hananya. It comes to include the case of Hananya. So, in the rule said that if there was koshi samach l'leida, she's not a yoledes bezov. That would indicate that if there was on the third day, which is the day that would have established a 3 consecutive days of blood flow, which would have made her into a zava. Nevertheless, but on that third day there was a moment of pain, so that we can't consider the third day as a day number 3 making her into a Zava Gedola, because of that moment of pain. And even though, as we said before, there was a 24-hour period of non-pain, and then finally the child born, we don't say retroactively she is a Yoledes Bezov. Menohani mili detonu rabbonan. We're seeking a source for that which we've just learned, that pain that's associated with childbirth, blood flow, let us more accurately, blood flow associated with childbirth, which is manifest because of the presence of the pain, does not lead to tumah. So the pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Tezvav Pasuk Chaf Hei Dama. We'll see shortly the more words quoted. Visha ki yazuv zov dama. The word dama appears in the pasuk. Dama machmas atzma. Dam that comes from the based on the woman is metamaher. V'lo machmas vlad, but not blood that comes or that's motivated by the pregnancy. Atoy machmas vlad. Are you saying that it's that if it comes from the Vlad, it's Tohor o Eino Elo Machmas Oines, or maybe if it's just any sudden appearance of blood, she'll be Tohor. Kishuoimer, when the Pasuk says in the context of Zova, it says V'isha ki yazoiv zoiv doma. Hare Ones Omor, the word Zov in this Pasuk, Yazuv Zov, Dama Zov, indicates any flow, even an Oines flow, is Metame, Ha Hare Ones Omor, Ha Mani Mekayim Doma. So what about the word Doma in the possessive, meaning her blood? Doma Machmas Atzma, only if it's blood that is coming from the woman for her own sake, so to speak, v'lo machmas vlad, but not if it's pregnancy related. So that the word dama we can say is a type of limitation expression coming to exclude the case of blood that's pregnancy related. Uma rois l'taras vlad tamiboynis. Why is it that you choose, if we have a limitation, why you're choosing to say that the Tumah is limited to the case of Oines, and we are declaring as pure the case relating to blood of pregnancy? The Gemara answers, Metahir ani b'vlad, I will metahir the pregnancy-generated blood flow, Shiesh taro achrov. Following a birth, there in fact is blood that is tor, the Yemei Tohar. Umetame ani b'Oines, She'in taro achrov. However, I am going to declare a sudden blood sighting from women in general as tmeya, because there is no tara that follows in that case. Adarava, to the contrary, mitarani boines shekain oines bizav tohor. If you want to declare something tohor, I would choose to declare the oines sighting, the sudden sighting of blood as being tohor, as that in fact is the case with a male emission. If a male has a zov emission, which is we've learned about this before, it's a white type male related emission, if it happens suddenly some type of uncontrollable release, he will in fact be tar. So there's a precedence of tara associated with oines. The Gemara responds, Hashtamiya Bisha Kaiminon, right now we're in the context of women. The oines beisha lo ashkechon, and there's no precedent for tara by oines in the case of women. V'boyesema, another approach to answering this. My daitoch l'turi beoines l'tumi lebevlad. What is your intention here, to betahir in the case of oines and declare the pregnancy blood flow as being tome? If you're willing to say that oines should be tor, well, ein lach oines gadol mizeh. A pregnancy motivated blood flow couldn't have any greater example of oines than that. Ihochi nida nami nema. If you're going to darshan the pasuk like we did in the source above, so why not approach the posuk in the case of Nida in the same way? Why did you say above that a pregnancy-related blood flow during her Yemei Nida in fact results in the woman becoming Tamei'ah? Why not say as follows, Zoi-va. This is a posuk, Vayikrotes va posuk chophe. If we glance at the side of the Gemara, we'll see we've noted the posuk in the margin where it reads V'isho kisiyah zovo dam yazoivo bivsoro shvasyomim tia binidoso v'cholanogea bo yitmo ad orev. So in this pasuk the word zovo appears. Why not say as follows? We should note that this is a four-line question. This is illustrated by the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Zovo machmas atzmo v'lo machmas vlad. Let us say a blood flow that comes as a result of the woman herself is metamaher, but not a blood flow that's pregnancy related. That's fetus related. Ata oimer vlad oy eino elo oines. Are you saying that tara is associated with the pregnancy? Maybe it's a result of any sudden blood flow a woman has should be called tohar. Well, when the pasuk says, as it does at the beginning, that implies a sudden blood flow makes her tmei'a. So then, what could I darshan from the word zova, which was in the possessive? Zova machmas atzma velo machmas vlad. Her blood flow, as a result of herself, makes her tmei'a, not because of the vlad. And once again, we're dealing with a pasuk in the realm of nida. So couldn't we say that a woman who has who has a pregnancy related blood flow during her yamei nida, she should remain tahor? And yet we don't say that. Omar Reish Lakish. We have a double underline to highlight the answers. There are two answers to this particular question. Why don't we say that Kushi is tohor even bimei nida? So Reish Lakish says, Omar Kro Teshev. This is from Vayikra, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Hey. We've included this pasuk on the side, which reads, V'im nekeva teleid, toma shivuayim kenidasa, v'shishim yoyim v'sheshes yomim, teshev al demei Torah. So toward the end of the pasuk, you see the word teshev. This is an extra word as far as the simple pshat is concerned. It wasn't necessary to include the word teshev. It could have said, shishim yoyim v'sheshes yomim, Demei Tahara, for 66 days. She has domim, she has the blood that's tor. What is the need for adding the word teshev? So the Gemara explains, Yesh lecha yeshiva acheres shehi kizu. There is another case of her being like this, where her, the blood is tor. V'ezozo. What is that other case where blood will be tor? Not only the 66 days of the Yemei Tohar after a female birth, but the other example is Zukoshi Bimei Ziva. This is blood flow that comes with pain during her Yemei Ziva leading up to a birth. So from this we see that it's during the Yemei Ziva that she is Tahora. The aim of the Gemara asks, couldn't you just as well take the word teshev and apply it to zukoshi bimei nida, that this would be the blood with pain during the yamei nida, and say she is tahora, just like we say that she's tahora during her yamei tahara? Elo omar avud Shmuel. So rather, if we still need an answer to why is it that a koshi bimei nida she's tamea. So avud Shmuel says, omar kro v'toma shvuayim kenida sa. That is in the pasuk we just quoted from Vayikra Perek Yud Beis pasuk Hey. And we darshan veloi keziva sa. The pasuk says she's tamea after a female birth for 2 weeks, like a woman is a nida. We're not saying that nida is for 2 weeks, but tamea, like a nida is tamea. And the lo kaziva sa. So there's a limitation, so to speak, or an exclusion. Like nida, yes, not like ziva. Michlal de ziva sa tahor. That in the case of ziva, where she has a blood with pain flow leading up to a birth, she would in fact be tahora. The azo, what do you mean by the zivasa Torah? Obviously, a regular zava woman is not tahora. So what do you mean a zivasa Torah? Zukoshi bimei ziva. That is just what we explained before. It's the pain leading up to childbirth with blood flow during the yamei ziva. The Gemara asks, v'hashto dichti v'tomo shvayim kenidasa. Now that we have this particular drosha, Domo Lomali. Well, use the arrow that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We have the arrow positioned also above. And there, we saw the word Domo in Vayikra Tesvav Posekhov Hey, saying Machmas Atzma Shizmeh, not Machmas Vlad. So that the pregnancy-related blood being tor was learned above from Domo. Here, we're learning it from the inference nida and not ziva. So what do I need doma for? Gemara answers, ilav doma, if not for this, for the word doma, have amina kenidosa velo kezivosa, I would have thought the afilu b'shoifi. When we say that a woman is tahora during the yemei ziva, I would have thought to say even if the blood flow continues without pain. Komash molon, hence I need the word doma to tell me that not so, that in the case of shoifi, she in fact will be tameo. Let's glance at the Rashi. You'll find the Rashi, the second line under the Gemara text, v'afilu b'shoifi, v'afilu hifsik shoifi ben koishi l'leida neima tahora, hoyol v'dam b'koishi ba. Let us say she'll be tahora since the blood she had in fact 3 days of blood flow with pain. So Komash Molon, we don't say that. We don't say that even Bishofi she will be Torah. And that we establish, that we derive from the Domo expression. Now the Gemara has a Maisa. And this Maisa will continue till the top of Lamed Zayin Omed Aleph. We have a little indicator, a long marking, which you can see to the side of the Gemara text. The word Maisa is written and encircled with a vertical descending dashed line. Shilo bar Avina Oval Uvdo Kavosi Darav. Notice to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text a star. This helps you to find the reference to Rav that the Gemara is making right now, way above on the page. Rav had mentioned that a woman that has a blood flow with pain is considered Asura Lyoma. She's Asura that day, but she doesn't have to keep the next day as a Shemeres Yoim Keneged Yoim. So, Shilo Bar Avina Oven Uvdo Kavosi the Rav, he issued a practical legal ruling following the opinion of Rav, namely Nida Liyoima. Ki ko noch nafshe de Rav, when Rav was about to pass away, Omar le Rav Asi, Rav told Rav Asi, Zil Tzan'ari, go and tell Rav, go tell Shilo Bar Avina to retract that ruling, in other words, not to follow that ruling anymore, but rather to be more lenient and say that she is completely muteris. Not, don't say anymore nida liyoma, but rather that it's tohor legamri, the ilot sayis, and if Shilo Bar Avina doesn't heed this message that you will be telling him in my name, then gar ye, then try to convince him through speech. You know, put, if he doesn't accept immediately what you are reporting to him, so try to convince him with speech. Hu savar gad ye omale. Rav Asi misconstrued or thought, he thought that Rav had told him gad ye. So, what does Gadye mean as opposed to Garye? Gadye means, if he doesn't listen to you, put him into excommunication, to excommunicate him. Bosu de noch nafshe de Rav, when Rav passed away, Omar le, Rav Asi approached Shilo and said, Hodar boch, retract your ruling. De Hodar be Rav, Rav himself retracted. Omar le, Shilo said, says, responds, Im Isa the Hodarbe, if it were so that Rav had retracted his ruling, Ladidi Hava Omar Li, he would have told me, I am his student. Lo Tsayas, and well, Rav, so Shilo Bar Avino did not listen, didn't heed Rav Asi's message, and Gadye Rav Asi declared Shilo Bar Avino in excommunication. Omar Le, Shilo says to Rav Asi, Velo Mistafi Mor Midlekta. Are you not afraid of getting burnt? In other words, you're putting me into you're excommunicating me. You're not afraid of some type of misfortune befalling you because of what you're doing to me. Harmale Ravasi says, now you'll see a string of names associated with Ravasi's father, and he says, Amale, Ano Isi ben Yehuda, I am Isi, the son of Yehuda. Ravasi is saying about himself that I am Isi, the son of Yehuda, do Isi bar Guri Aryeh, do Isi ben Gamliel, do Isi ben Mahalalel, Asita de Nechosha. And here's a play on words. The word Asita, you see the word Asi in that word. Asita is a mortar. It's a bowl used for crushing herbs and medicine to make medicines. It's called in English we call that a mortar. I am Asita de Nechosha, a copper mortar, de lo sholet be rakva, that decay cannot have effect on it, so that I'm not afraid of getting hurt. I'm like a copper mortar that decay doesn't have any effect on. Amale, so Shilo says back, Vano, Shilo Baravino, Buchno de Parzolo, I'm an iron pestle, the Misbar Asito de Nechosha, that can crush a copper mortar. So Shilo is again warning Ravasi that because of the excommunication that he is dealing to Shilo, that he, Ravasi, is looking for trouble. Cholash Ravasi, Ravasi took ill. Ailua b'chamimi afkua mikariri. He experienced heat, which took him out of his chills. He then, Ailua b'kriri, then experienced chills, afkua mikhamimi, removing him from his heat. There are different translations. There's a translation that I saw regarding this is that they put him in hot blankets and blankets and warmth in order to relieve him of his chills, and then he became overly warm, so they put him into some cool environment to remove him from his heat. But whatever the case is, he's experiencing sickness, and it led to his death. Noch Navshe de Ravasi, and Ravasi died from this. Well, seems that Shilo's warning came to fruition. However, at the top of Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara continues, Ozal Shilo Omar Lidvisu. Shilo, seeing that Ravasi just died, says to Lidvisu, to his wife, Sobis Li Zavdesa, prepare my shrouds. I'm about to die, he says, and almost I want to go and die, the lo lezu velemole larav mili luvoi, so I can in the next world go to Rav, maybe beat Rav Asi to Rav, so that he doesn't speak ill of me. Fascinating description here of Shilo's intentions and seeming concern of what could happen in the world, in the next world, if he doesn't intervene. So Tzavisole Zavdasa, his wife prepared the shrouds, Noch Nafshe de Shilo, and Shilo died as well. And as the Gemara goes on, it seems it's all happening on the same day. Chazu de Parcho Aso Mehai Puria Lahai Puria. Aso is a myrtle branch. When on Sukkot we refer to that as the Hadassim. It was customary to put a Hadas branch on a coffin, and the two coffins were lying next to one another, and it seems like miraculously the myrtle branch that was placed on one floated from one to the other. Amri, people said, Shmamina Ovdu Rabbonin Paisa. This is a sign that these rabbinic figures came to appease one another. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.